You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kristen Cunningham. She's on the West Coast right now. Kristen, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're actually in LA, is that correct?
I am indeed in Los Angeles, yes.
So let's talk about what you're working on now. To jump right into it, what's happening in your studio? What are you making?
In my studio, I am making... I'm working on a commission that is... I've been doing all these drawings with string and yarn, and I'm making a piece. It's essentially a cube, a drawing of a cube, like a projection in space. It's like a maybe like a Saul LeWitt drawing he would draw on the wall, but this is made out of yarn, and it's nailed. There's a series of nails that I embed in the wall, and then I draw with the yarn. So I'm making a cube that is somewhat rotated in perspective, and then it will also rotate in time, I guess. It's kind of hard to describe.
But it's fixed. Well, I can. That's okay. I'll help you describe it too. We can work together on this. But these images that you're making, just so everyone's clear, is if you put 20 nails or 100 nails in a circle on the wall, and then put yarn between them all, you've made a drawing of a circle. In your case, you're doing all these geometric drawings of shapes and spaces that seem to have dimensions, but they are done with yarn and nails on the wall. So this shape that you're talking about is, it sounds a little bit like, on your website, there's an image called The Room is Filled with Rainbows, and it's and there are shapes that are, well, there are a variety of shapes, but it sounds similar to one of those where it's it looks like it's turning, or...
Well, this piece, actually, it's static, you know, in and of itself, but it's going to change over time. So one iteration will be installed 1 year, and then the next year there'll be another iteration of it. So the piece will shift back and forth, like on a yearly rotation.
I see. So in other words, the person who's commissioning it, where it's installed, the image actually changes from year to year. So it looks like the cube or the drawing is moving or rotating?
I mean, yeah, if you had if you took one picture 1 year and another picture the next year and then another picture the next year, yes, in an animation it would be moving. But, yes, it's moving very slowly.
Right. Well, it is, right? I mean, that's fascinating to me. I mean, the reason I ask that is because is that part of the plan? Is there, like, a five-year plan with this commission? Like, how much does it keep getting rotated? Because you essentially have to come back yearly and remake it.
Yeah, well, I think it's just actually going to be two pieces, two different color schemes, and they're both primary color schemes. Like one is red, green, and blue, and one is red, yellow, and blue. So it just kind of shifts between reflected color and then the light color spectrum, the RGB color spectrum. So it's not really RGB because it's not made out of like LED lights or neon, but you know, it's a representation of that primary color system.
Right.
But to be clear
about the kind of install relationship, because that's very interesting to me. Like you referenced Saul LeWitt, it's similar in design. So that's why I'm curious. It's not so much that will it look like an animation or will it go on forever, but these are two pieces that will exist at the same time, or you will change it within the collector's home after a year kind of thing?
Well, they're going to change it. I'm not going to necessarily change it. But, yeah, they will change it the next year, and then they'll change it back.
They can change the yarn on it themselves?
Yeah.
I see. So they change it.
they can have someone, you know, install it. I mean, it's a very simple piece. Once it's worked out conceptually, once I figure out, you know, where it's going to go, what the shape is, what the rotation in space is going to look like, you know, because it's like a three-dimensional shape rotated, you know, it's on a two-dimensional surface, you know, pretty much for all intents and purposes. It looks like it's a two-dimensional surface, but, you know, because it's the wall. So I have to pick, I just have to figure out the way that the shape will look in on the wall and then the color scheme, and then they can execute it pretty much. I mean, once I set it up, and I'll give them a template. But, yeah, once the nails are set up, it's just a matter of drawing between points or just, you know, pulling a line taut, you know, in a
But it's connecting
like
the lines in the right way. I mean, it is possible to do it the wrong way. Right? I mean,
probably. I guess. I don't know.
I'm curious about it because is there instructions? I mean, will they know how to do it?
Yeah.
Or I suppose they can just take the yarn off slowly and put it back on. But, right, there are instructions so they know how
there
the image should look at the end.
Yeah, and I'll film it, too, actually. That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about them doing it wrong. But there's really there's one way you can do it, really, to have it look like the picture. You know, I will definitely give them instructions.
Well, it's funny. I mean, because you're the artist and so close to it, you know, that maybe that's the case, or maybe it will be easy. But I interviewed Jorge Pardo a while ago, and he made this kind of subscription lamp that he was sending out to people, and he had them all laser cut. You know, they basically all the pieces just fit together, and it stood up, right? They're all laser cut plywood. But he said everyone was afraid to touch it. They were afraid they were going to assemble it wrong. They were going to put the wrong thing in the wrong place. And he said, so I ended up having to give this, like, long-winded YouTube tutorial on how to assemble his sculpture, which was a lamp. So that's interesting. So is this the first time you've created a commission like this where they'd be able to change it? Or have you done any of those before?
Yes. No. This is an experiment. No, it's the first time, and, you know, it's a good point, but I like that problem, you know, I like pushing that, you know, like, I like people, you know, being, I mean, I want people to be more engaged with the process of, I mean, my artwork, some of it is very interactive, you know, this piece isn't designed to be an interactive piece, but, you know, I think it's good to have that. I think YouTube tutorials are awesome. I think they're so great. So it's cool that Pardo did that. I haven't seen it, but I kind of like that. I don't know. I like that kind of solution. But I also, you know, I think it's a good experience for people to install artwork. And, you know, maybe an art installer installs it. And, you know, probably most people are not wanting to engage, you know, that intimately with an artwork because they're afraid, you know, that they'll do something to it. And, you know, I guess it's
afraid, yeah, they're afraid they'll break it or they'll misinterpret the artist's intention or somehow destroy the piece.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, but the thing about this piece, you know, is that it can just be remade. I mean, if something happens to it, it can just be, you know, the string can just be rebought and, you know, reconfigured. And in a way, it's designed this way so that it can be remade, because I was worried about the longevity of the material and how, because I work with a lot of also hand-dyed and naturally dyed fibers, and because this is going in a, you know, a pretty well-lit public place, and it's going to be on display for, you know, I don't know, probably at least 5 years, you know, I wanted it to have some, I wanted to have it be able to be managed, I guess.
Be restored. Yeah, no, it is a way of restoring it and managing its longevity and archival qualities. you know, in a way that's not too dissimilar from Solar Wind, although we're dealing with, you know, material. Well, it's actually very, very close in a way, so that it can continue to be made and changed walls or whatever needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, you know, also there's those shrines in Japan, those Shinto shrines that they remake every, like, 5 years or something. I like that idea of remaking something. I think it's the Ise Shrine. I've never seen it, but, you know, it's like it's a ritualized, like, remaking of something. And I think that, I don't know. I think that's cathartic. I think that's helpful for somehow the whole art process. You know, because, I mean, people move art all the time and they change it around and, you know, so that it becomes alive again. You know, they recontextualize it and, you know, they're constantly reinventing its context, you know, but a piece like this is just, you know, it's stuck on the wall. It's like an installation. So changing the colors is my way of revitalizing it.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. I love that. So you're working in your studio on this commission work, and after that, what will happen? Will you have an upcoming exhibit of these works, or what else will happen in your studio next?
Well, actually, I'm about to go out to the desert tomorrow. Actually, going right out there, and I'm working on a project. It's kind of a long-term project with many fingers attached to it. But it's I've been researching petroglyphs out in the Southwest.
Right,
so I've
yeah,
been going
gorgeous,
to different
yeah.
sites.
Hmm.
I guess I'm doing research out there, and I'm also working. I'm taking a weaving workshop, which is not really anything I'm going to show, but that's what I'm doing next. Hmm. I mean, for show wise, I'm working on something. Probably this petroglyph project gets shown at the Mount Wilson Observatory. There's a show called The Knowledgeables that I'm in next year. And we just got funded by the Mike Kelly Foundation, which is kind of exciting. But it's a bunch of artists who are influenced by science, I guess, in a very loose way.
And then you said we just got funded. That means the group of artists that are in the show or who's we?
Yeah, the woman who curated it. I'm totally blanking on her name at the moment, but she got funding for the project through the Mike Kelly Foundation. So it was, I guess Mike Kelly has always funded like weird performative and installation projects around Los Angeles. I didn't know that, but, you know, since he's passed away, they've set up a foundation that has a... They're
great. There's a lot of artists that do that you find out often after they're gone, they have these foundations. I mean, obviously the Andy Warhol did that and others. I think that's such a great thing for artists to do, to kind of support other artistic forms and, you know, and move that a little bit. But so that's exciting. And you're also teaching now, or what else do you do in Los Angeles?
Well, at the moment, I'm just working in my studio, and I have taught a little bit. I taught a weaving workshop at Cal Arts in January, and I'm teaching a workshop at Pomona College. I mostly teach workshops. This workshop at Pomona is going to be about light and color. Just because of the James Turrell pieces. I mean, James Turrell went to school at Pomona, and they have this new facility called the Susan Sontag, James and Susan Sontag Arts our art and interdisciplinary facility. It's just huge multi-million-dollar project that I thought I thought Susan Sontag had like set up this foundation, which is why I approached them to do this interdisciplinary workshop. And apparently it's not the Susan Sontag who I thought it was, but somehow like I thought it was, and that's why I contacted them, because I thought they would be friendly to artists, because they're, you know, they want to have scientists and artists collaborate with each other. That's what the foundation is set up to do. So I'm teaching this workshop that is for both scientists and artists. And actually, to answer like what I have for many years worked at the physics department at UCLA as a videographer to make a living. But I'm not doing that at the moment.
So in these workshops, I mean, just to touch on that with, you know, at Pomona, what are you going to go into in terms of talking about light and color? Will you reference your own work and give kind of an artist talk, or is it more of a hands-on workshop somehow?
It's more experiential. I think that we'll probably do some color mixing with LED lights and just look at what happens when you add red and blue light and take away red light and add green light, and just look at, I mean, just have the students experiment, like do experiments on their own that you would normally do in like a physics class or a physics, or you would be exposed to, you know, in a physics department, but not as artists, we're usually not exposed to any of the cool things that they do in physics, you know? So I thought
right.
It would be a nice way to bring that those demonstrations into an art context. And also to have physicists and physics students have to engage with these apparatuses not as like a kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but just in a more experimental way, in a more experiential way, I should say. Because physicists tend to know things, but then they don't necessarily physically or emotionally engage with them. And I think that's how artists engage with the world more, you know, more experientially. And so I just thought it would be
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. That sounds very useful and important. I was just talking to you know, someone at SVA this morning about their program of biotechnology. That was Suzanne Anker, and she was it's a similar sort of idea of bringing, I think, the sciences almost into as part of an artist's palette. You know, can you use living matter? Can you use aspects of physics or whatever? Yeah, that seems to be such a growing interest in the arts.
Yeah, I think, well, I think there's a lot of similarities, you know, with the work that physicists, you know, theoretical physics is pretty abstract in the way that it's not, like, easily applicable to, you know, life. I mean, it's about life, and it's about
sure.
understanding life, but it's sort of like, and it's a way useless in the way that art is somewhat useless, you know? If art is not useless and physics is not useless, but it's about research. It's about, you know, understanding the way things work. And for me, you know, it's hard to link those. It's hard to create a vocabulary really to describe what happens when you cross between physics and art, but there's a kinship there. I mean, we're both experimenting really on the edge of what we know, you know? I mean, we're really pushing against like what materials are and what reality is and, you know, what a, I don't know. It
yeah,
seems
yeah, that makes sense.
It seems we have a lot to talk about, too. I mean, they're...
Yeah.
Physicists
have absolutely. They're both seem such fertile ground for kind of, you know, helping one another. The sciences and the arts and the sciences back and forth seem to be ground for great invention and more. So to close, I just want to ask you one last question. What are you reading right now is what I've been asking people. Could be on or off topic, but is there a book you're reading that you'd want to share with us?
I don't read a lot, but I do have a book that I read that I have been reading. It's called Eating Stone by Ellen Molloy. It's about a woman who's tracking bighorn sheep in the desert, in the Southwest desert.
Huh. Eating Stone.
Eating Stone, yeah. She kind of died suddenly. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, but she's a great writer. She writes about wilderness and animals and landscapes and, you know, how we interact with the landscape as our strange members of, you know, contemporary culture, and then we go to these, like, places that have no, you know, that have been, they're just natural, you know.
Thank you, Eating Stone. Kristen, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.